Good morning. This is Pastor Hank. I want to welcome you to Central Christian Center. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Honored first-time attenders and cherished members, we are so glad that you're here. Whatever you need, I believe God's already provided it for you, and it's our desire today to help you receive from Him. Let's just enjoy the presence of God and receive what God has for us today. Anyway, I want to read you out of Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, 17. I'm going to read this out of the Amplified because I just like the way it stated it. It says, "The 70 returned with joy, saying, 'Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name.' And he said to them, 'Hey, I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. Listen carefully. I have given you authority that you now possess to tread on serpents and on scorpions, and the ability to exercise authority over all the power of the enemy, Satan, and nothing will in any way harm you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven.'" Holy Spirit, let me say something today that helps somebody, and just believe you to do big things and all of these folks' lives and their families. You know, we've been talking for a few weeks because, you know, it's amazing how much of Christianity really doesn't have a clue of what's going on. And we just think when tornadoes come and hurricanes come or tragedy comes, we just think that's God doing it, and we just think it's His will and all that. And nothing could be further from the truth. If you weren't here the last Sunday or two, you probably ought to pick the CDs up. But we talked about the fact that the devil's going around like a roaring lion, seeing who he can devour. And how many know he can devour you if you let him? So why don't you not let him? We have a choice. We can use our faith, or we can just go along with everything. And that's what the enemy tries to do. He tries to deceive us and just get us to be passively aware of everything. And just kind of, you know, well, yeah, well, if God wants it to happen, it'll happen. And well, yeah, if this, yeah, well, maybe there's a reason for that. Well, listen, when bad things happen to you, there is a reason for it. His name's devil. I want to just clarify it. And we talked about how that God made all the earth, and He made everything in it, and He made everything here, all the wealth and all the beauty. He made all the earth here so His creation could enjoy it. Amen. He made everything here, and then He made man in His image. And he made it all. And so, you know, it amazes me how Christians are, they feel guilty, and they think it's humble to not have anything, and they think it's humble to poor mouth and all that. And that's not humility, that's a trick of the devil, because God made all this in the beginning, and then he made man, and He said, "This all belongs to you. I give you the authority, you have dominion, you rule over it, you replenish it, you take care of it. You enjoy it." And so here he is. Adam's got it. God's given him the authority. God's given Adam his power of attorney, if you will, to run this planet. And when God did that, everything Adam said then goes. If I won't go real quick and real long into this, but if you give me your power of attorney, I can do business in your name. I can sell the things that belong to you. I can operate, and I can legally do all that stuff because you've given me that power of attorney. And so what happened is God gave Adam this authority and gave him this dominion. And when he did that, Adam then sinned, And we read out of Timothy last week that Eve was deceived. Adam wasn't deceived, but Eve was. And so by him committing this high treason, he gave that authority that God had given him over to the devil. That's the only way the devil had a way to get in. You understand that? That's the only way he has any authority now, is by what Adam gave him. Stay with me. And I did a lot of scriptures last week, and I won't go into those again, but get the CD. But so Adam gave him that authority. Well, come on. Romans 5:12 in the New Living says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought forth death. So death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. Or death spread to everyone, and it was as though everybody sinned. So you see, when we are born in the natural into this world, we are born into a fallen world. We are born into a world that the devil has dominion over. He has authority over. Our physical birth, we're born into this fallen world. We're born into this, and you've got to realize all the evil that's on the earth today wasn't here before Adam gave his authority away. That's how the devil entered in. I'm saying that so you understand that's how he enters into your life and into my life. He gets us to believe a lie. He gets us to think the wrong things. See, if I think God's putting this sickness on me, or even if I think God's allowing me to go through this sickness for something I can learn, then I don't use my faith to get this thing off of me. If I believe that it's God's will that I be broke, because if I stay broke, I'll be humble, and it's His will that I don't really have a lot because I don't want to get my mind on things of the world. If I fall for that lie, then I don't use my faith to get out of that position. Does that make sense? And so he deceives, and he sinned, and he, you know, but thank goodness Adam gave it away, but Jesus came and got it back. Amen. Let me read you out of Romans. Yeah, give him some praise. Let me read you out of Romans 5, and it pretty much I just read verse 12, but this kind of summarizes the whole thing. In verse 17 it says, for the sin of this one man, Adam, caused death to rule over many. But even greater is God's wonderful grace and His gift of righteousness, for all who receive it will live in triumph over sin and death through this one man, Jesus Christ. Yes, Adam's one sin brings condemnation for everyone, but Christ's one act of righteousness brings a right relationship with God and a new life for everyone. Yeah, give him some praise. Because one person disobeyed God, many became sinners. But because one other person obeyed God, many will be made righteous. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. But as people sinned more and more, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So just as sin ruled over all people and brought them to death, now God's wonderful grace rules instead, giving us right standing with God and resulting in eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That's powerful. You ought to go and read Romans 5 this week and when you get home and this week, and you ought to just look it up in every translation. And you ought to just Google and get Blue Letter Bible on there, and you ought to just study every word and every verse. And you ought to just get down with God. Do you understand that I come in here on Sunday mornings and I'm trying to give you something that you can begin to study some of these things out? You can begin to find out some of this stuff for your truth, so you can begin to let the Holy Spirit lead you into some of this truth? Because God wants us to live and to reign in life. And it's not going to just happen automatically, and it's not just going to happen because you're a good guy or a good gal. It's going to happen because you took your faith and you believed what the Word of God said. You believed what the Holy Spirit shows you, and you live it. Whew, that's good. So I hope you'll dig. Don't let it be the Jesus, you know, don't let it be Jesus I know and Paul I know and Hank I know, but who are you? Because if you try to go against the forces of hell without knowing this Jesus and knowing who he is and knowing what's rightfully yours, he'll jump on you and strip all your clothes off and send you out in the street naked. That's in your Bible, by the way. So get some time with God. And let me tell you, when you're studying and when you're reading and something starts to click in there and you start feeling the presence of God and you start talking and you're hearing and you're feeling all this, don't stop and go eat something. Don't stop and go do something that you forgot to do. Stay right there in the presence of God until He's done. He'll take care of the rest of the stuff. He'll make sure it gets done. He'll make sure you poor little thing don't starve to death. But what we do is we get to this place with God and we go, oh, this is so good. Oh, I've got to go do this and I'll come back and get it. No, you don't do that to the Holy Spirit. Because when you come back and try to get to that place you were, you can't get there again. So you wait till the next time it happens. I'm just saying, this is so exciting. And the Holy Spirit wants to create in us a hunger for God's Word and a thirst for His Word. He wants to create something in us and as we do that, that's how we build this relationship with Him. That's how the Word becomes flesh. That's how the Word becomes part of us. That's how it gets into our innermost being, so out of our heart can come the issues of life. Whew. Well, I don't know where to go from all that, but are you hearing me? Oh God, this can't be a Sunday thing anymore. This can't be a once in a while turn him on, turn him off thing anymore, folks. We're coming down to the end of this thing, and it's going to be those of us that are watching and waiting. It's going to be those of us who have some oil in our lamps. It's going to be those of us that are seeking Him and wanting Him more than anything. When you wake up in the morning, that hunger's in there and that desire's in there and you can't hardly wait to get up to talk to Him. He's been feeling that way all night waiting for you to wake up. Man, don't do me like Leonard did though. Man, at daylight the other morning, Leonard sends me a video thing and he's an audio thing and he's singing. He's singing. He's singing to the Lord. I texted him back and said, did you ever think about singing lessons? But he had the right answer. You know what? All heaven was rejoicing at that, man. I mean, the Lord was excited. I mean, He doesn't care if I got a note out of tune. He doesn't care what's happening. He's excited when I'm coming after Him, boy. Yeah, I'd say, woo. So how does the devil get us? He tries to get our mind different than that, okay? He tries to pull us away from that relationship. He tries to pull us away from that part of our life that has to have Him to survive. Majority of Christians are going around living in the flesh and living in their reasoning and they're dead inside. Oh, if you die, you'll go to heaven, but a lot of Christians would just be better off if you'd go ahead and die. Because you're miserable. Oh, but the joy of the Lord's my strength. Huh? Whew. Anyway, that was all free. So how does he do it? He gets us. Paul said something in 2 Corinthians 11. He said, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." How did he get Eve? How did all this start? He got her thinking wrong. Huh? He got her thinking wrong, and it opened up an avenue for him to get into the earth, and we've been having troubles from him ever since. How's he get into your life, into your marriage, into your kids, into your family? How does he get in there? He gets you thinking the wrong things. Well, that'd be a whole sermon there, but I'm trying to go somewhere. I hope I get there. You say, well, if Jesus has redeemed us, then how come all the stuff still happens? Well, because the devil is still in control of the natural. He's still in control of the elements. He's still in control of, do you understand what I'm saying? He's still operating all his sin and death. He's still operating all that. But I'll read us some scriptures. We've been transferred out of that and put into the kingdom of the Lord. But we have to willfully do something about it. We have to mentally and make a choice. He still controls. If I'm going by my feelings, if I'm going by my reasoning, he'll just maneuver me and he'll just jockey me around and he'll just cause me all kinds of trouble and I'll blame God for it and we'll just all cry and I'm just not going to go to church down there no more because I don't like what the preacher said and I don't like the songs they sing and I'm going blah, 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 blah. I'm just not going to that cell group anymore because so-and-so hurt my feelings. Well, bless your little heart. Aren't you glad that Jesus went ahead and went to the cross even when his feelings got hurt? I am. Listen to what I'm saying. I'm not mad at flesh and blood. I'm telling you about an enemy that tricks us and deceives us. And he'll do it to pastors. He'll do it to the flock. He'll do it to he'll work them against each other. I know places where people are fighting pastors, and pastors are fighting people. And pastors get up every Sunday and they just preach the awfulest messages. They just try to kill everybody that they see, man. And the people sitting out there, they spew it back just as fast. Man, I'm glad we got something different going around here. I'm glad. Now, don't misunderstand me. We got a long way to go, but bless God, we're on the way, aren't we? Yeah. I mean, it's a long trip, but bless God, I've got my suitcase packed and I'm on the trip, man. So, how does he do it? He's still in control. He still can bring sickness to your house. He still can bring poverty to you. He still can cause all this stuff to happen. But see, what happens is now we have a choice to change it. And it's not going to be because Hank told you. It's not going to be because Jesus I know, Paul I know, and Hank I know. It's going to be because you know. You know. And you don't have to be, I'm not saying you got to be a Bible scholar. I'm not saying you got to have it all memorized. I'm just saying you got to know in whom you believe. And you got to be persuaded that he's able to keep you through whatever happens. Let me read you a few more here. Thank God Jesus came. I love Galatians 4, verse 4 through 7 here. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ Jesus. Can you get that? Can you grab a hold of that? You're not just some little ragamuffin. You're not some little stepchild. You're a son or a daughter of the Almighty God. He's made you able to partake of the inheritance. Let me read you some more. Galatians 3. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, not the 12 apostles, not the people way back in the book of Acts, but that the blessings of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus. If you weren't born a Jew, you were born a Gentile in the natural. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. You understand what he's saying here? He's saying God, Jesus came and he took all that curse on him. So that headache you're fighting right now, quit fighting it and just relax and loosen them muscles up. You've got it because of stress in your life. And just relax. Shut your eyes if you need to, but just relax. It's trespassing. That diabetes, that MS, that heart trouble, that kidney problem, that cancer is trespassing. Jesus took it all on himself. He became the curse for us. Well, how come it still happens, Hank? I just told you why it still happened. Because you got a devil that's still trying to work. He's still working the earth. He's still maneuvering. He's still manipulating. And the only way he can be successful is when he's walking around like a roaring lion. When he walks and steps upon an unrenewed mind, he can get you. He steps up on somebody who doesn't know who they are in Christ, who doesn't know what Jesus did for them, that doesn't know God wants them to walk in all that, and doesn't know it, and he maneuvers it around. He twists our thinking. You understand? I'm not preaching at you. I'm talking about all of us, because we're all works in progress. And if you catch yourself every time somebody says something like this, you get defensive, you know there's a problem in here. Because if you really got it, you know you got it. You don't have to convince anybody of it. Huh? You know, through the years, I've known a whole lot of tough guys. Now, I've had a lot of guys that tried to make you think they were tough, but I've known a whole lot of tough guys. And you know, usually the tough guys never try to convince you how tough they are. They know. And if you mess with them, you'll find out real quick. You with me? Do you notice you don't ever see people who are filled with the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking in tongues walking around real defensive and trying to defend that and trying to... No, because if you know something, you know something. Mark it down, because I know everybody in here isn't filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues. That's okay. We're going to talk about that some in the future. And I promise we won't talk about it the way you've always heard it. Okay? But... Did you ever notice that? I'm evidently not going to get where I was going, so that's okay. I'd rather get where the Holy Spirit's going. Is that all right with you? If you're trying to seek the Holy Spirit and find out about this experience with another language and other tongues, if you're trying to seek that, don't go study people's stuff that are preaching against it. Hmm? I never have heard anybody talking negative about the Holy Spirit in tongues that spoke in other tongues. It's always people that don't, and they're trying to defend it. Are you with me? See, if you're trying to learn prosperity, and if you're trying to learn how God wants to bless you, and the principles of seed giving and those seeds growing and it coming back to you, don't go read people's stuff that's against that. We'll talk about that some more next week, okay? But anyway, He's redeemed us so that all the promises of God, so we're heirs. We're heirs. It says, verse 29 in the third chapter, that says, if you're Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We need to have a whole message just on the promises of Abraham. But Colossians 1 tells us, verse 13, 14, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us, past tense, He has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, the kingdom of the Son of His love, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins. Now I want you to see, it's important that we understand, and you don't, do you know you have authority over the devil? How many here don't know you have authority over the devil? I just told you did. So you know it here. But you don't have a revelation of it here. Are you with me? Let me read you what Paul said in Ephesians. And I apologize, Vicki, I'm skipping all around, but I don't apologize. In Ephesians 1, he says, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding, you understand he's praying a prayer here for us. He says, I'm praying that God will give you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. That's what I just said. Give you a revelation, a spirit of wisdom, and a revelation of who Christ is and what He did for you and what God wants for you and how much God loves you. He says, I'm praying that you'll get a spirit of wisdom and a revelation of knowledge of Him. And the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, that you may know what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. And what is the, and that you may know what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which Christ wrought. This is the power that He's given to us. This is the power that He's working in us. It's the power which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. We're the fullness of Him. Paul says, I'm praying. Now, I don't usually read that much, but I wanted to read that whole thing. Paul says, I want you to get a revelation. Get the knowledge of this thing. Get the knowledge of Him. Realize that power that's working in you. It's that same power that He used and He worked in Jesus and He raised Him from the dead. He seated him at his right hand. And he said, now, Chris, now, Wendy, I seat you here also. When you got saved, when you got born again, you were dead in your sins and trespasses, but he transferred you out of that. He took you out of that curse and put you into the promise, took you out of that negative, put you in the positive, put you in the kingdom of his dear son. It says that when he did that, he raised you and seated you also. Where? Where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also that which is to come. He put all things under your feet. I hate to tell you, we did this a few weeks ago. This head is connected to this body. And what I'm trying to learn, you know, this body goes where this head tells it to do. When my body starts doing something that my head's not telling it to, it gets really confusing. It doesn't happen. That's why if your head's telling your body you're getting sick, you're getting sick. If your head's telling your body you don't have enough, promise me, you don't have enough. If your head's telling you, I can't do this, I promise you, you can't. That's why you need to renew your head. That's why Paul said, renew your mind with the washing of the word. See, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Nothing's impossible to me if I can believe. Amen. Got to think different. Got to think different. I just don't know how. Well, you're telling yourself right there. Check your motive. Check your attitude. Check what you're thinking. See, a lot of times I'm learning that I'm thinking I'm using my faith and I'm not. Oh, I'm verbally using it and I'm convincing you that I'm using it and I'm acting like I'm using it, but something inside's not computing yet. Well, I just believed and I got sick anyway. Well, I know, because you didn't believe. You thought you believed. See, I know who Jesus is here. But what I got to know is, I got to know him here. Whew, I got to know that this Spirit of God that he put in me, this Spirit of his dear Son that he put in me, communicates from this head to this body. And when this body starts working like this head's working, and I'm getting my communication from him, because he's only going to tell me the things that he hears Father say. All these scriptures go together if we weren't so thick between the ears. Huh? I go, God, why didn't you show me that a few years ago? He said, I tried. He said, you know, some days, he says, you're dumb as a bag of rocks. But I love you anyway. And if you don't quit, even when you don't know it yet, I'll make you look like you know it. Just keep coming after me. Just keep on going, man. Because Hank, you're never going to know everything anyway. So just act like you know everything and just keep on going. Just keep following me. But don't forget who's communicating. Don't forget where the message is coming from. Because when it gets here, you're in for a fall. Huh? Oh, when it gets here, I just don't see how that could happen. Don't worry about it, it won't. Oh, but when it's in here, out of your innermost being will flow rivers of living water. Guard your heart with all diligence, because out of it come the issues of life. Anybody here don't know you got authority over the devil? Nobody raised their hand this time. Let me get this thought real quick. Oh, man, I got so much here. I'm so excited. I got enough for another sermon here, another message. Hallelujah. If I could find a wrote end on one of these. Let me read you this text again. Because this is the thought I wanted you to see. See, you're a difference maker. I've been spending all this time telling you what Jesus did for you and what belongs to you and who you really are. But listen, they come back and they say, Lord, even the devils were subject to us in your name. Okay, equivalent. Man, Kenny, I prayed for him and he got healed. Woo, Chris, I prayed for those financial blessings and they came. You got the equivalent here? Even the demons are subject to us in your name, Jesus. And he said to him, hey, listen. I watched the devil fall. And he fell fast. He fell like lightning, man. He said, but listen to me. Listen carefully. I've given you authority. You now possess it. I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. And I've given you the ability to exercise that authority over all the power of the enemy. That's Satan, the devil. And nothing will in any way hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice at that. That the spirits are subject to you. Man, that's no big deal. I watched him fall. He's not no big deal. Quit elevating him. He's a nothing. He's a nobody. He's defeated. Don't be all excited about that. Be all excited about the fact that your name's written in heaven. Now get this. Get this connection. We get so power stricken. These guys were power stricken. They were so amazed by the fact that the power had operated through them that they forgot about their mission. I mean, they weren't thinking about their journey. What did Jesus tell them to do? He said, you go out and preach the kingdom and heal everybody that's sick. You just go do it. They got so power stricken. If we're not careful, see, listen. God has given us the ability to create our own destiny. Huh? I mean, and we even can create some of it even if it's not in line with His will. But if you want it to really work right, get in line with His will. As He's showing you this about receiving, as He's showing you this about doing big things in your life, keep that focus and say, God, I want your will. See, keep your focus on the things of God. The whole thing wasn't that the devils were subject to Him. Jesus said, that's no big deal. Huh? What did He say? What did He say in John 16? Let me read that real quick. John 16:33. I want to read it out of the Amplified Classic. He said, I have told you these things so that in me you may have perfect peace and confidence. In the world you'll have tribulation and trials and distress and frustration, but you can be of good cheer. You can take courage. You can be confident, certain, undaunted. For I have overcome the world. I have deprived it of its power to harm you, and I have conquered it for you. Okay? Know your position. But don't forget why you got your position. Why do you have authority over the devil? So you can go around, so a pastor can think you're strong and everybody in your cell group can think you're something? Or I mean, why do you have this authority? Why do you have this power? See, the big deal, he said, the big deal wasn't that the devil was subject to him. Can I tell you what? The big deal wasn't even that they went, even though that's a big deal. The big deal was Father wanted the people that were still under the curse of the law. He wanted those people to hear about what had happened so much. He said, you just take the message and I'll make everything else happen. Does that sound like Matthew? You just seek Him first and His kingdom and His righteousness, and He'll add everything else to you. Folks, do you understand we get more interested in the receiving than we do the giving. We get more interested in the taking than we do the distributing. Praise God, I was sick and God healed me. I was sick and he raised me up. And this has happened to me several times since I've been preaching this, by the way. Well, okay, Hank, why'd he heal you? So you can just wait around till you get sick the next time and use your faith again? Why'd he heal you? He healed you so you'd go out and get some other folks healed. God blessed me financially. Well, why'd he bless you? You know what he told Abraham in the 12th chapter? He said, I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. You're a difference maker. You can make a difference in everybody's life. Everybody you get around, you can make a difference. Jesus called the 12 and he said, I give you authority over the devil and all the things. You go and preach the kingdom and heal the sick. And then the 70 came and he said, did the same thing. And they came back going, wow. And so the 120 went out and they did the same thing. He said, go out. When you lay hands on the sick, they'll recover. Your demons will run from you. And it says they went out. As they went out, Jesus went with him and confirmed what they were saying with signs and wonders. Quit worrying about the power. Just think about the folks that Jesus wants to touch. Huh? Just think about the one sheep that the shepherd left 99 that he had to go after the one. See, Peter said, God's not willing that any should perish. Can I add a little bit with that? And he's not willing that any of us should live in a perishing condition. He's not willing that any of us live in want. He's not willing that any of us live sick. He's not willing that any of us live in all the turmoil and all the stuff. Well, how come we are? Well, I've been telling you for an hour here now. If you don't have it by now, get the CD and listen to it. You understand what I'm saying? I'm saying, if we ever knew what the people James was talking to evidently realized the power he had, and he looked at them and he said, hey, said your faith isn't working right because you're asking amiss. You're just consuming it upon all your own lusts. Can I tell you, God wants you to have the desires of your heart. He wants you to have all this stuff. But that's not where we're supposed to be looking. If I go look for the fields that are white for harvest, if I go look for that, see now, I don't know who you are, but you've been sitting around feeling sorry for yourself because I just don't seem to have any friends and people don't come to me. They just don't, folks. You understand how he deceived Eve? He deceived her by her tricking her in her mind. How does he deceive us? He deceives us by tricking us in our mind. If he can get me to thinking about being mad at you, then I'm not thinking about what I'm supposed to be doing. If he can get me sidetracked, Because I shoot some lightning or something, and if he can get me sidetracked looking at that, no, what he's always looking at is, well, what about the one that hadn't heard yet? Well, I'm just going to go somewhere. They just don't use me down there. Hold it. They aren't supposed to use you. You're supposed to let the Holy Spirit use you. And when you get your stinking thinking right, nobody else will be bothering you. And whatever they do to try to bother you won't bother you. Amen. Why? Because, man, I'm going after Jesus. Huh? If you only knew. I watched Pearl Harbor the other night. And that Japanese guy said, after they attacked us, he made a statement. He said, uh-oh, I'm afraid we've awakened a sleep, we've awoken a sleeping giant. That's what I'm trying to wake up now, is a sleeping giant. And he's in you. He's in you. Well, I can't kill a Goliath. Well, then go get you a bear or a lion. Work your way up. Huh? I don't know how to believe for $10,000. Okay, then why don't you believe for $10,000 and work your way up? I don't know how to believe for healing. Well, then won't you believe for that ingrown toenail to be healed and work your way up? Amen. Better yet, won't you say, Holy Spirit, teach me how to believe? He's the only one that can teach you. You understand what I'm making? You got to make it. You ought to be doing so much for so many that when somebody comes back and thanks you, you don't even remember what they're talking about. And that's what this church is all about. That's why we try to do. Do you realize that just by you being part of this and just by you supporting this church and being a part of this thing, you realize the lives that you're touching and you might not ever see them? I'm in Walmart the other day and some people came by. And I didn't know them at all. And they came by and they said, Hi, Hank. Said, we read you every morning. I walk over a few more aisles and somebody else said, I don't know who they are. I don't know them from Adam. And they said, Hi, Hank. I listen to you every Sunday night. Do you realize what you're making possible? Do you realize everybody that's touched through a cell group, everybody that's touched through something you pray, something you do, do you realize that's all seeds that are being sown? And I want, when we get to heaven, I want there to be so many things there, so many crowns that we don't even remember what they're for. Huh? I came in the other day and Gary says, Hank, a lady just called. And she said, you prayed for her in Walmart. And she said to tell you, she's cancer-free now. And she's going to come to church. And I said, I don't know. I said, I pray for a lot of people in Walmart. So I went home and I asked the Lord. I said, Lord, If you want to, I'd like to know. Help me remember. And I thought for 2 days. And finally I remembered. I was at the checkout counter. And a lady walked by and she looked and she said, Hi, Pastor Hank. She said, I watch you every week. And I said, Oh, well, thank you. And the lady's ringing me up. And I shake her hand. I said, What's your name? And she tells me. And naturally, I don't remember it. But, so I talked to her and everything. And so I'm going back and the lady's trying to check me out. And I don't want people behind me to get mad and all that. And the lady says, would you, she's kind of walking away. She said, would you keep me in your prayers? And I said, sure I will, you know. And I go, whoa, whoa. I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I called her back. By now, everybody's looking and the people behind me forgot they're mad because they're waiting to check out. And they go, what? And I said, hey, I said, come here. She came back. I said, what's the matter? She said, I just got a report that I have cancer. And I said, well, I know who can give you a better report. Do you? She said, yes, I do. And I just grabbed her and I pulled her over. I didn't have a big prayer meeting. I just whispered in her ear. And I don't even remember what I prayed, because that really doesn't matter. What mattered is that Jesus touched her. And now she's cancer-free. Do you understand that that isn't to put a feather in Hank's cap. That's to put a feather in God's cap. That's how much He wants to touch you. That's how much He wants to help you. That's how much He loves you. And you don't have to fight for it. You just have to receive it. So I'm here today telling you, you can just receive it because He loves you. Is that good enough? And I'll quit because it's already 12. I love it. They get so engulfed in what I'm saying that they don't even come up here yet. I love that. Folks, I'm just believing, okay? I could care less if I preach a good message or give a good talk or whatever. I want God to do something in your heart. I want Him to do something in your life. And that isn't a feather for me. That's for Him. That's what He wants to do. He says, Hank, will you just start getting up there and telling them what I want to do? Tell them what I've done and what I want to do. And I'm just here today saying, nothing's impossible to you. Nothing's impossible to you if you can only believe. Huh? Believe. Believe in what Jesus did. Believe that He was enough. And you'll have to do like I do. I just go, God, I don't know how to believe for this, but Holy Spirit, you can teach me because I believe. I'm confessing it. I'm going to act it out. I believe. Holy Spirit, you teach me and you show me. That's what the guy said to Jesus. He said, help my unbelief. He said, I believe, but help my unbelief. That'd be a good message too. Hey, I love you. I just want God to be big in your life. I just want Him to touch you. And Joel, good to meet you. Joel's all the way from New York. He's first time he's here today. He's all the way from New York. So I hope you got whatever God brought you in here to receive today. But you know, I hope that you got whatever He brought you here today to receive. And I'm going to go a step further. I hope you receive what He had for somebody else and they didn't come to get it. I hope you get it. Just say, I'll take all I can get, God. Well, I'm done. But I promise you I'll have another batch by next week, okay? But don't wait till next week. Just start today. Don't just have a Sunday relationship with Him, man. Have an everyday relationship with Him. All because He loves you. He cares about you. And I'm going to tell you what. I'm tired of hearing about this stuff that's going around. People ask me, have you got that stuff that's going around? I said, no. I had a chance to, but I decided not to take it. Huh? Didn't mean I didn't have opportunity. I just decided, no, I don't want it. And it took me 2 or 3 days to convince Him. But you know, 2 or 3 years ago, it took me 2 or 3 weeks to convince Him. And you know what? I'm working to the point to where He comes and tries to sell me a bill of goods, and I just look at Him and go, boo! And He runs. You can do that too. But it's all about a relationship with Him. Everybody stand. I'm already quitting the second time. Better go ahead and quit. If you're here today and you've never started this relationship, maybe you started it, but you just have backed away, fallen away, and you're not right today and you know it. Why don't you come on down here? If you don't know Jesus, if you've never made Him your Lord, come down and let one of us pray with you. If you've known Him but you just kind of got away and you just want to say, hey, I want to change my life. I want to straighten my life out. So I'm trusting You to help me, Lord. Just come down and rededicate your life. Just start over, whatever you want to call it. Reboot. Just come and get another shot if that's what you need. And maybe you're here and you've never been baptized. We want to baptize you today. We got water, robe, towels, everything you need. Maybe you're here and you just need somebody to agree with you and pray with you. Hey, we'll agree with you. And where two will agree, it'll be done for you. Okay? So, Father, in Jesus' name, I'm speaking to all those colds, all those stomach viruses, all those opportunities to be sick. And I'm casting them out of this place in Your name, Jesus. I'm casting them out of this people. This is You. You just receive it. All this sickness, right now, we don't want no more of it. We've had enough. Devil, get your hands out off our lives. Get your hands off my people. Get out of here now in Jesus' name. You set them free. By Your stripes, Jesus, we're healed. Father, You're the God of more than enough. You give us more than enough and You give us the desires of our heart. And we just praise You and thank You right now. And if you need to come for any of these things that I said, you come on down. Let's just sing one verse and you come on down if you need to come. We'll be happy to pray with you. If you've been fighting a physical battle, if you'll come down, some of us will pray over you and we'll anoint you with oil. In the prayer of faith, it'll heal you if you're sick. Matter of fact, Greg's coming here right now. He'll anoint you. And I'm telling you, when he touches you, you'll be healed. So if you need to come for anything, I'm going to dismiss you. But if you need to come, you come on down even after we're dismissed. Do you know God loves you? Do you know you have authority over the devil? How many know you got authority over the devil? What's the matter with the rest of you? I just spent an hour telling you. Hey, I love you. I'm believing God to do some big things in your life today and this week. So you believe him with me. And I pray every day that he'll be big and strong in your life. And I'm just believing to hear more of these good reports. Hey, love you, and I'll see you next time. Come tonight for the fundraiser if you can. We'll be visiting, having a good time. Love you. Bye.